want to punch someone right in the face. Don't you feel that way right now? That's how you get ready for church right there. Just fight somebody. Good morning, welcome to church. My name is Darren. If it's your first time, we'd love to welcome you. Hey, give it up for all our first time guests for joining us today. It's a big deal. Whether you're joining us here online or at one of our other campuses, we're glad that you made the decision to dip your toe in the water a little bit and find out if this could be your place. We want you to know that you're loved, that we care about you, that you are important. And we know it's difficult to step in, but we hope that you discover that you can build a relationship with a real God who loves you, who has a plan for your life, and that you can connect with people, find your people, and find your place. We hope it's a great experience for you. Like I said, my name's Darren, and I'm not from this area any longer. I did go to school up the road at Taylor University. Any Taylor grads in the house today? No. Okay, there never are. Every time I ask, it is a school in the state of Indiana. I live in California now, though, so it's an honor for me to be here. But I do have a question for you guys, just being from Indiana, y'all being here. My first question was just, how are you doing with the whole, Halliburton? How are we doing okay? Is it Tyrese? You going to be okay? You guys recovered yet from that? So close. I feel there's a spirit of mourning in the room a little bit, like another one just slipped through your fingers, you know? I was rooting for y'all, I really was. But you still got Caitlin, you know what I mean? You still got Caitlin, so you got, it's all good, right? Great year for sports for you guys. But I'm now in Northern California, and we're in Sonoma County, the Napa area. So if you're ever out that way doing some wine tasting, we can't say that in church. If you're ever out there visiting the West Coast, we'd love to host you at New Vintage Church where we're from, and so. It's an honor for me to be here, honestly. This place is amazing. I'm friends with your church, and so it feels like, do you guys know you're up to 300 campuses now? It's amazing. Like, you just, every time I come, yeah, it's great. You can give up for that. Every time I'm here, they give me the list, and they're like, could you please welcome all these campuses? And for like the first 2 years, I was like, all right, I'll memorize this list. And now I'm like, I'm not doing that. Like, that's too many now. It's too many campuses, but give it up for Pastor Danny and all the work he's doing and just the great work of your church leaders. It's so awesome. I feel like I'm steering the Titanic for just a minute this morning. I'm just trying not to hit the iceberg. That's my goal this morning, is not to wreck this thing. And so it's a real honor for me to be here and wrap up this series. We started this series, Fight, a couple of weeks ago, and Pastor Danny talked about getting in some fights himself. I really would have loved to have been there for that, to see that happened. I personally have not gotten into a lot of fights in my life with my siblings. You know, I did punch my brother in the face one time. Felt so good. And we still laugh about that. But most of us like to see a fight. Like, and I know, ladies, you might be like, I don't really like watching fighting, but you might just prefer like the Real Housewives version of what fighting looks like. Maybe that's more your cup of tea for fighting. We all like a little drama of a fight. Like, for example, if you were driving down the street and you looked out your window and there was a fight on the side of someone's like front lawn, like you're not slowing down for that. For sure, you're slowing down to see that fight because we all want to see a fight. And that's what this series is about. This series is about the fact that we want to see some fights. We want to see some fights in your lives because this world is there's a battle going on. And like Pastor Danny said the first week, if you don't choose to fight, you're going to face defeat. You got to choose to fight in a world that's full of battles. And some of the battles that you need to fight, that I need to fight, that we need to fight, that are really important battles, are battles like fighting for your kids. Man, the world is out to like, you know, kind of lead them astray. And we got to fight for their hearts and their minds. We got to figure out what it looks like to fight for our kids, whether they're young or whether they're old now. We have to fight for our kids. And we talked last week, Cody talked about fighting for your faith. And Paul uses a lot of language in scripture about fighting the good fight and making sure you stand strong in your faith because there's an enemy out there. We don't want you to get punched in the mouth with a low blow or like, you know, some sort of sucker punch by the enemy. You gotta be ready for this fight. So today, I want to wrap this up by talking about one more really important fight that we want to see all of us engaged in. That is fighting for your marriage. We're going to talk about the fight for your marriage today. And fellas, as you know, if you've been here in the series, just like Deion Sanders, hashtag we coming for you, all right? When he took over as the coach of Colorado, he said, hashtag we coming. And he has been, and I've adopted that at my church towards our city. We tell our city, hey, just so you know, we coming. And fellas, this morning, we're coming for you. And so I want to start by reading to you the worst verse in the Bible for husbands, okay? You good with that? We ready? Okay. Now, I got to set this up. We're in Ephesians chapter 5, and Paul's talking all things marriage. And he says, you know, husbands and wives, you need to submit to one another. Guys, that's the best verse, right? You got to submit, right? You got to do what I say. That's what we think it says. It's not what it says. And then he gets to this. He says, you got to submit to each other. And he says, for husbands, this is what that means. He says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. Ugh. What? Come on. Like, what does it look like to fight for your marriage? Well, Paul says, to fight for your wife, give up your life. That's my time. Let's pray, wrap this thing up, Lord. Help us, Lord. I mean, what? I don't want to do that, right? Guys in the room, right? Here's the reality of this. The reality is this isn't actually the worst verse in the Bible. It's actually one of the best verses in the Bible. Because on the other side of dying to yourself, guys, is this beautiful marriage. On the other side of dying to yourself, on the other side of getting rid of all the junk that's in me, oh, it's the secret. It's actually the key to unlock the best parts of marriage. It's something nobody wants to do, but if done well, actually releases the best parts of this thing called marriage. But the truth is, let's be honest, fighting yourself will be one of the biggest fights of your life. Because men, we don't want to die. We don't want to give up. You don't want you to lose anything. You want you to be amazing. So you fighting you is difficult. But this battle for your marriage, it actually begins, fellas, in the mirror facing that guy. And what Paul wants us to know is if we're gonna fight for our marriage, we must fight ourselves. So summarizing this to get us started, fellas, here's the truth about it. The marriage fight is not actually you versus her. The marriage fight is you versus you. And you're a mean sucker. You're a tough booger. You don't wanna die. You don't want to lose, but you have to fight yourself. What does it look like to fight for your marriage? What does it look like to fight for your marriage? What does it take to fight for your marriage? It takes you killing the selfishness that's living in you. Oh, listen, this is not what I thought of when I first thought about how I was going to win over women in my life. You know, growing up as a teenager, when I just first started dating, I wasn't like, you know what I need to do for the ladies in my life? I need to die to myself. I just need to be selfless. No, you know what I thought? I gotta show them how cool I am. I gotta show these women how amazing I am. I need my awesomeness to be a gift in their lives. Every little boy feels this way. My son, he's 6 years old. He says to my wife all the time, what? Mommy, watch me. Watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me. That's what he says. And when you get older, it just sounds like, honey, hold my beer and watch this. That's how it looks when you get older. Because we as men, we just want to impress you women. We just want you to be so impressed by us. We want you to think, wow, what a guy. Just a real quick survey to the guys out there. Fellas, just show of hands. How many of you feel like at some point in your life you knew what it took to impress a woman? Like you had what it took to impress. Just raise your hand. Just come on. Don't. You got two hands right here, right? You just, like we thought we had it figured out. I did. I thought I had it figured out, dude. In fact, when I was in college at Taylor University that none of you have heard of, that's an hour up the road, I was... A buddy and I, we realized that like guys didn't know how to take girls on dates, so we decided to start this business called Boyfriend Central, right? It was actually a true nonprofit, actually. We didn't make any money. And what we did was we would plan dates and we would help guys figure out like a good date to go on. So we had this long list of ideas and we would be like, here's what you gotta do. You gotta plan this thing. We would help guys figure out how to take girls on dates. And honestly, we were killing it. I mean, honestly, they were coming to us, you know, in droves, like, give me another idea. That one worked so well, you know, like following up with people, checking stats, you know, and asking them how it went. And so we thought it was great. We were feeling ourselves. We were like, we are so good at this, which is why it was shocking to me that when I got married, I stunk at it. I mean, I was awful, right? I mean, I was terrible. I mean, my wife and I, we couldn't get along. We couldn't understand each other. I mean, I was trying all the stuff that I normally tried and none of it was working. I mean, I was tactically out of ideas and we were struggling. I mean, we were praying that somebody would die and it wasn't me. I wasn't praying that I would die, you know? I wanted somebody to die and it wasn't me. And she wanted somebody to die and it wasn't her. Like, we had this tension between us where we were really asking God, like, why would you let this happen? Why didn't you stop this when you saw what was coming? You know, we know you can see the future and you just let us go right ahead with it. We were mad about it. And the reason I bring that up is because I know that when we talk about marriage in a room this size, we talk about marriage with you watching online, we talk about marriage, we got 9 or 10 campuses watching, wherever you're watching from, I know that in a group this size, we talk about marriage, some of you are struggling. And not just a little, but like, I'm running out of hope. And I didn't even wanna be here today because I don't know. I don't know if we can even go on. So when you talk about marriage, I don't know. And you might be tempted to look at the pastor guy and be like, oh, pastor guy, he probably loves selflessness. I assure you, I do not. And it was a struggle and a challenge and it was a fight for us. But I wanna just encourage you today that God can heal and redeem and restore anything that he wants to. And it is worth the fight. It's worth it to stay in the marriage. Oftentimes you think, well, the grass will be greener on the other side. But I believe that the staying in the fight is far greater and that sometimes leaving the fight and dealing with the fallout is even more difficult. There's no guarantee of things getting better just because you gave up on the marriage. I promise you it's worth it to stay in the fight. And I am proof, I'm living proof that you can heal and restore. I can say to you today, with my wife probably watching online, babe, I love you and I'm so glad that God put us together to get through this fight and come to the other side of it. We are on year 14 of a hard-fought hallelujah marriage this summer. And I'm so grateful for my wife at this point. This is my wife here, this is Molly. This is us in our bougie Sonoma County wine country. Yeah, that's right. This is a picture of me kissing her in front of the camera lady, just to annoy her. And this is our family right here. These kids are worth the fight. She's worth the fight. Our marriage is worth the fight. I'm so glad that we fought for it. And listen, I know if you're there today, if you're in a space where you're like, I don't know if I can go anymore. In every boxing match, there's a break between the rounds where you come and you sit in the corner and the coach encourages you and the coach patches up some of your wounds and tells you, you can do it, you can keep going. And if that's you today, if you're today, you're in a fight for your marriage and it feels like it's hopeless, no matter where you're watching from, would you be willing to just come to the corner today? Just come to the corner and let me be your encouragement. Let me be a coach in your corner this morning and just speak a couple things over you that might be helpful today. And would you let the Lord heal up some of the wounds? And then you're gonna have to get back in the fight. But you gotta find a way to get back to the corner and talk to God and talk to encouraging people and have your people in your corner and then get back in the fight. Don't give up on the fight. Let me encourage you, don't give up on the fight. There's something good on the other side of this fight. See, my wife and I, we didn't understand each other and nothing that I had done before worked with her. Previously, when I dated girls, if we got into like an argument or something like that, I would just go give them a hug. You know, and say, oh, I'm so sorry, and give him a hug. I did that with my wife the first time we were in a big argument, and she was like, don't touch me. And I was like, what? But hugging is how we heal. She was like, not me, dude. Not now. Not, nah. Get away from me. I was like, this is new. Okay. So I thought I'd try something else. So with other girls, you know, I'd write cards and give them flowers. If things weren't like, you know, going great, I'd just like apologize in a card and flowers. So one day I put a card on the floor in our house so that when she came home, she would see it with some flowers and a card. And I was over here in the in another room. It was the study or something. It was, well, like the office. Nobody says study anymore, right? We're playing Clue over here. I was in the conservatory and with a candlestick. And no, I'm sitting in this room and I put it where I could see it. And I heard the door open and I heard her walk in. And I thought, all right, she's going to be so excited. I watched as she stepped over the card and went the other direction. I was like, okay, all right. And she was like, I don't want a card when we're sideways, you know? Don't do that. I was like, all right. I called up Boyfriend Central. I was like, bro, what am I doing wrong? He's like, you're gonna need Husband Central. I was like, how do I get that? He's like, it doesn't exist. You're in trouble, dude. See, I was still looking at my marriage through the lens I'd always looked at with women, which was, how can I impress her? What do I have to do to make her realize what a gift she has in me? I was thinking about this. What else could I do so that she could see how blessed she was to have moi in her life? And I kept failing over and over and over again. And what I learned over time was that what my wife needed was for some stuff to die in me. Like, there were some things in me that needed to die for her to get what she needed in our relationship, because I discovered over time that the number one need that my wife had was to feel safe. To feel safe. And I wasn't safe. I didn't know I wasn't safe, but I wasn't safe. I was fun. I was funny. I was helpful. I cooked. I cleaned. I took her on dates. I thought I was doing everything the way I was supposed to do it, but I wasn't safe. See, I grew up, like a lot of guys grow up, everything was a competition for me. Anybody else, competition, everything was a competition for you, a few of us? Boy, that does not really work well in marriage. It's not like the number one tool to win over your wife, to beat her at everything, you know? Let me see if I can really win you over. I'll be right all the time. I'll argue everything you say. I'll just keep arguing and arguing. See, stuff had to die in me for her to thrive. I had to figure out what it was that needed to die in me for her to thrive. See, I had a problem. I had a temper. And when she would bring things to my attention, I would fly off the handle. I'd yell and I'd scream. I know no other guy in here ever has that issue. No other woman in here has that issue. Shoot, we all struggle with some of these things, right? And I lose my temper and I fly off the handle. I remember one time I was just trying to impress her. I just wanted her to be happy. That's all we were trying to do, right? And so she had moved into my house when we got married, and she had mentioned to me, I don't want our house to be your house. I want it to be our house, and so I want to change some things. So I was like, okay. I'm listening to what she wants to change. One of the things she said she would like to change was the closet in our bedroom. Like, let's figure out how to make it, you know, better. And so I listened to her a little bit, and I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to surprise her. I'm going to fix that closet for her. And so one day I took off, you know, work, and I spent the whole day working on this closet. And by 5 o'clock when she came home, I was done. All put back together, all repainted, remodeled, everything. And when she got home, I was like, babe, I got a surprise for you. She's like, oh, cool, what? I take her back to the closet. She looks at it, and she goes, why did you do this? And I was like, oh, shoot. Because I'm awesome? No, she was not happy. And the reason she wasn't happy is because I hadn't listened. What she wanted was to participate in the things together and do it together and have a voice and have a say and have it be ours. This is just another thing that was mine that I did in her mind. Well, I took this news so well. No, I didn't. I flew off the handle. I screamed, I shouted, I acted like a child. I said things I shouldn't have said. I treated her poorly. I did not take the feedback well. And I was hurt and I was mad and I was angry and I lashed out. And this began a pattern in our lives where I was just trying to impress you, but I didn't listen. I missed the mark. You were disappointed. You gave me some feedback I didn't like. I flew off the handle and round we went to the point that my wife began building brick by brick, argument by argument, frustration by frustration, a wall around herself to protect herself because I was no longer safe. It was dangerous to bring things to me. It was dangerous to bring disappointments to me. And I had to ask myself the question, what would it look like? What would it take for me to help my wife feel safe again? And it meant some stuff had to die in me. Yelling had to die. Losing my temper had to die. Self-centeredness had to die. An inability to listen to feedback had to die. Being right all the time had to die in me. Thinking I was smarter and knew everything had to die in me. Not listening clearly had to die in me. So much had to die in me in order for my wife to thrive in our marriage. So I had to go on a mission. I had to get men around me. I had to pray. I had to go to counseling. I had to fight the fight of my life to kill the stuff in me that was killing my wife. And I don't know what yours is, guys. I don't know what your wife's number one need is. I don't know if hers is safety. I would wager to say there's a lot of women who would say, yes, I need to feel safe. But a lot of women might say, I need to feel supported. I need to feel heard. I need to feel seen. I need to be listened to. I need to be valued. I need to be important. I don't know what yours is, but I know a way to find out. It's crazy. But what you would do, and maybe take out a notepad and write this down. This is gonna be hard to remember. You would go to your wife and you would ask her, what do you need to feel loved, valued, seen, heard, and important? What do you need to feel safe? Do you feel safe? Do you feel like you can bring things to me and I'll handle it well? Or do I still have some stuff that needs to die in me? Jesus said it like this in John 15. If you want to hear from Jesus, he said, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. And I know some of you go, ha-ha, gotcha. My wife and I, we are not friends. You're supposed to be, and you once were, but something happened. And there's no greater way to love your wife than to lay down your life. So guys, you've got to ask yourself, what does it look like to lay down your life for your friend who is your wife? What does it look like? What do you need to get rid of? What's some stuff that's broken in you? What are some ways you're not prioritizing her? How many games do you need to hit the record button for because she wants to do something else, but you want to watch the game? Oh, come on, bro. Is there a habit you need to put down? You have a drinking habit maybe that's kind of killing your evenings because every evening you got to have a couple of drinks when you get home and she's talked to you about it, but you're like, whatever, it's a couple drinks, relax. And you're prioritizing your comfort over what your wife would like to see in your life because you know better or you need to have it. It's your only way. You got a problem like that? You got a porn problem that's you're secretly hanging on to because she doesn't do for you as much of the things that you'd like to do with her, and so you deserve a little side something, and so you've got this little habit and it's killing your marriage. It's killing your interest in even chasing her because you're taking care of you a different way. You got a problem like that that's keeping you from dying to yourself so you can help your wife thrive? Did you grow up with a dad who didn't do any help around the house and so your wife would like you to help around the house but you're resistant to it because that's not what your dad did and you don't do that kind of stuff and you're the provider for the family, you're not gonna do that? Does your wife want you to talk to her and you're just a quiet guy, you just don't want to, you just don't wanna engage? Are you annoyed with how much your wife talks and so when she talks, you do this? Yeah, okay, honey, get to the point. Are you belittling her instead of listening to her and tuning in? Does your pride and arrogance need to die because you are so smart, you're so much smarter than your wife? If she could just listen to you, things would go so. Do you got some arrogance in you? I know I'm punching you in the mouth right now. But fellas, listen. You could have an amazing marriage on the other side of your willingness to kill this crap in your life that's hurting your wife. Oh, it could be so good. As Christ loved the church and laid down his life for her, we're to love our wives by laying down our lives for them. Oh, it can be a beautiful thing. It could be so good. I promise you, every woman who's married in this room, in her mind right now, is going, let's go. And I'm not saying women don't have things to work on. They do. We're doing that series next year. But today, fellas, I'm talking to you. Come on, what a gift for the women in your life. Ladies, it's not because we don't care. It's because if we could get the men to truly see what they need to do in their lives, oh, what a gift to the ladies in our life. See, I had to come to this conclusion that the best way to impress my wife, because I wanted to, the best way to impress my wife was to die to myself. Oh, she's far more impressed now. Far more impressed when I handle feedback well. Far more impressed when I don't fly off the handle because she wanted me to talk about something that I was doing that annoyed her, right? Now, I'm telling you, we've been to so much counseling, we can give you free counseling at our table. If you came to our house and you sat at our table, we could give you quality, very expensive counseling at our house because we've been to so much of it because I needed it so badly. And I could tell you, you know, make sure you appreciate one another. I could make sure you don't go to bed angry. I could talk about active listening. I could talk about make sure that you don't, listen, here's a good one. Do not argue past 9 o'clock, okay? No good, nothing gets solved after 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock on is for cuddling, etc. That's what it's for. It's not for arguing. Don't ever argue after 9 o'clock. It's worthless. You'll just get into a fight. You're tired, you're worn out. It's not a good time. There's lots of things I could tell you about your relationship that would be helpful for you. But truthfully, the real issue is, do you want to get better? Are you willing? Guys, are we willing to lay down our lives? Because if you're willing, shoot, you could find this on ChatGPT. ChatGPT is your friend on this. All you have to do is put this prompt in right here. Prompt, what are some ways that men need to fight for their marriages to save them and make their wives feel loved and supported? Go ahead, take a picture. I'll wait. Come on, guys, take a picture. I know you don't want to take a picture because I just told you to. And, you know, guys in the room are like, I'm not taking a picture. He told me to. Triple dog dare, take your phone out. Take a picture. I'll wait. You need to do this. You want to figure out how to, you want to have a better marriage? You want to have a marriage that like rocks, that's like so good, where your wife is like so enamored with you? Guys, you want your woman to love you, don't you? Don't you want to impress? Then figure out what she needs. Take a picture, put it in ChatGPT. If you're married in here and your man did not take a picture, I just want to take a moment and pray for you. Put this prompt in. There's lots of things you can do. One of the best pieces of advice that I ever got, I want to give to you today. See, we all need a space where we can freely tell each other what's annoying us. And so one counselor told my wife and I that we need to make a regular habit of going on a working date. Schedule a working date every month. What's a working date? It's a date where you each get 30 minutes to tell the other person how they're terrible. Okay? But you know it's coming, so you're ready for it, right? And so you literally get a timer and you go 30 minutes. And so listen, it's like when you're going through your life and something's annoying you, but like this is not the right time to bring it up, you put it on your list and you're ready for the working date. And then when you get to the working date, you hit the timer 30 minutes. Let me tell you a couple things. And you are ready for it. You go, because in this moment, I say to my wife, all right, babe, hit me. What am I doing that's annoying you? I'm ready for it. You're not catching me off guard. I'm literally, at our working dates, I'm like, hit me. Come on, what you got? You got something? What am I doing that's annoying you, right? And she can tell me without me getting defensive because I want her to. Well, this is the space for it. This is the place for it. This is where we work on it, right? So come on, girl, let me have it. What do you got? One time she said to me, do you know that you put paper towels in the sink after you wipe down the counter and you just leave them there and they get all nasty and wet? I was like, I don't do that. She's like, yeah, you do. I'm always throwing them away. For the next 3 weeks, I realized, oh my gosh, I do that all the time. So now I don't. I said, I bet I can do that. Fine, I won't blow them anymore. The other day we had a working date a few weeks ago and she said, we have a chair in our bathroom and every time I wanna use it to like sit down and put my shoes on. But every time that I go to sit down, your clothes are on it. Can you please not put your clothes on that chair? I was like, for sure. You guys know what I did yesterday before I left for this trip? I checked the chair, baby. I said, oh, let me see. Before I go, let me see if I got any clothes on the chair. I took them off. I put them away. I was like, I'm the baddest husband on the planet. Look at me. I care about my wife and her sitting down to put her shoes on, right? Well, where did I get that? I got it from a working date where she was allowed to tell me, hey, knock it off. Right? We need, every marriage needs working dates where you can tell each other, please work on this. And here's the rule. If you get in a fight during a working date, okay? If you get in a fight, because you will, we have, all right? Because, you know, I'm ready, but I wasn't that ready. You know what I mean? The rule is you set a 5-minute timer. Okay, you know what? No, 5 minutes. You go off your separate ways and then you come back together and you continue. You take a break, you breathe, and you keep it going, and you finish the fight. Man, I would encourage you. If you need other tools, there's a great website, awesomemarriage.com. Take a picture of that. Just write it down in your mind. There's lots of resources there. There's so many ways. See, the issue is, do you want to do this, guys? You want to go get your girl? You want to go get your girl? You got to figure out what she needs. Come on, don't you want to impress her? Don't you want to make her smile? Don't you want to walk in the door, have her be glad you're there? Don't you want your marriage and your home to be vibrant and full of life and joy and laughter and fun? Come on, then you got to figure out what needs to die in you to give that to her. Here's a few questions that I want to give you, practical questions you can ask one another to get this conversation going. Number one, ask your wife, what's your number one need in our relationship? What's your number one need in our relationship? Feel free to take a picture of this. It's also in your app. Number two, what are some ways that I operate that keep that from happening? You got this need, what am I doing that's stopping that? Tell me, I wanna know. I wanna know what I'm doing, right? Next question, what would it look like for me to pursue you well? I asked my wife that the other day. What would it look like for me to pursue you well? She said, you used to do all these fun things to like ask me out on dates and you haven't done that in a while. I said, all right, I went to Target that day. I bought some sticky notes. I found out where she was getting her hair done. I went to her car, I wrote a big long note with sticky notes all around her car. Got her a bottle of wine, got her a shirt I thought she'd look good in. We used to play this game, I'd buy her stuff. It was called Things I Think You'd Look Good In. So I just gave her a shirt. I said, I think you'd look good in this. She did. Pursue your wife. What does it look like? Ask her, what would it look like? Another question, can you help me identify things that need to die in me for you to feel loved and supported? Now be careful how you ask this question. Do not ask, what are some ways that I need to die? She's already thought of several. I made that joke with a girl in my office. She said, oh yeah, wood chipper. It was like right out of the bat. She was like, wood chipper. And the girl next to her was like, no, no, no. Slow dripping drops in his coffee over many months. I was like, these are happily married women. I'm like, y'all are thinking about this? I made this joke to my wife and she goes, no, 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 you're not worth going to jail for. So, okay. But what are some ways that I need to, the things that need to die in me so that you feel loved and supported? And finally, this question right here. Is there anything I do that seems to be more important to me than loving you? Is there something I'm participating in that seems like I care more about it than I care about you? That happens. Guys, go get your girl. Go win her over. Go fight for her heart. Die to the things in you that are keeping that from happening. Sure, I'm sure there's stuff she's doing, but you can only fix you. You can only change you. You want to learn to impress your wife? I do. Learn to give up your life. That will be impressive. See, that's what Jesus did for us. He's our model. He gave up his life so that we could have life. Can you imagine the joy that he gets from watching you and I thrive because he gave up his life? Fellas, the same thing will be true in your marriages. You get to watch your wife thrive when you lay down your life. And that's what God did for us. In fact, he came from heaven. He came to earth. He climbed up on a cross and he died on the cross. He gave up his life. And he went into a tomb, but he didn't stay there. He rose up from the dead, signifying that he has power over death, that he can give you life as well. If you've never begun a relationship with that God who came to earth in the form of Jesus and died on a cross and paid the penalty for our sin, I want to give you an opportunity to do that, to say to him, God, I know I fall short. Everyone falls short of the glory of God. I know that I'm a sinner and I need your grace. I need to be saved and rescued from my own brokenness. We want to pray a prayer together today to give you an opportunity to do that. So if you'd bow your heads and close your eyes and pray with me in the quietness of your mind and the sincerity of your heart. If this is what you want to do, just say something like this to God. Heavenly Father, I want to ask you to come into my life. I want to thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for giving up your life so I could have life. God, would you come into my life? Would you forgive me for my sin? And would you make me who you want me to be? I want to follow you all the days of my life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, we want to celebrate with you. Will you celebrate with the people who made that decision today? It's the best decision you'll ever make with your life, to give your life to him. And we want to make sure you have all the resources that you need. So we've got these boxes called saved boxes. Inside of it, there's a New Testament. One of the things that you'll need to do as you begin this relationship with God is open his word and let the word of God speak to your life. So you can grab one of these. You can text some number that used to be right here that's gone now, 65 something. It's too small for me to read, honestly. I'll be honest for you. I'm not young anymore, okay, Cody? I'm not a kid anymore, but... you can text that number somehow, or pick one up at your information table at all of your campuses. And if you're watching online, you can actually give us some more information and we'll send one out to you in the mail tomorrow. But we want you to have everything that you need for that. At this time, our band is actually gonna come and we're gonna sing a song together. It's called Crowns Down. And the whole idea of this song is that we would do what we just talked about, that we would lay our lives down at the feet of God, that we would trust him to take care of us when we give him all that we have. That we would put our confidence in his plan. His plan, fellas, was that we would lay down our lives for our wives, and his plan for all of us is we lay down our lives at his feet, that he would give us the life that is meant for us. So would you stand, would you sing together with the band, lay down our crowns as we lift up our voices.
Thank you, Pastor Darren, for that encouraging and challenging message on fighting for our marriage. I know I am going to take some of those principles and apply them to my marriage this week. Hey, just a reminder, if you made that decision to place your faith in Christ, don't forget to text SAVE to 65248, and we will send you a saved box in the mail. Okay, hey, you are not going to want to miss it. Next week, we are kicking off a brand new series called In Light of Heaven. I promise you do not want to miss it, so we'll see you next week, and bring a friend.